Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hi, folks. Be sure to visit my website at dr-history.com for a short personal video message, to listen to the latest stories, and to leave a comment.
And now, here he is, Dr. History.
Good morning, Zeb.
My friend, I got to do it right. Merry Christmas. There you go.
Thank you. Yeah, we had our Christmas last Saturday night with all my kids, and now they'll head home and do their Christmases at home. So
yeah, we did our last Saturday up at Jake's. Yeah.
So we still got some hanging around, and I think they'll hang around until the food's gone.
You've still got some tinsel hanging on your right ear.
Oh, well,
somebody tried to decorate you. Christmas gnome.
I stood still too long.
Have you got some thank yous this week?
I do. Clint up in Washington, he loves the show. He's a truck driver, and he's listened to every single show we've done.
No kidding.
And he mentioned two people. He said, you might know the names. Deb Conhover. Copenhaver.
Yeah.
And Tommy Kuntz.
Yep.
You'd know those guys.
I do.
Yeah.
So great rodeo cowboys, part of the industry for a long, long time.
Okay. And then Dennis up in Oregon, he has an antique restoration business, and he found...
You've got hope then.
Yes, he can restore me. He was going through an old desk, and he found some old newspapers called the Brownsville Times paper.
No, this is in Oregon?
It's in Oregon, but I'm not sure where the newspaper came from.
Old Brownsville, I know isn't there a Brownsville, Texas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I got the impression this is somewhere back east, but anyway, kind of an interesting deal there. But, and then Scott, he mentioned, wondered about, what our favorite Western movies were, and which we have discussed off and on here.
I know I've got top three that are very meaningful to me.
Yeah. So anyway, there was another couple, and I forgot to write them down, that are in Eastern Montana.
Okay.
But I'll have more information on them next time. So
all right.
Anyway.
Well, you didn't give us your favorite Western movie.
Boy, you know, I don't know, 'cause there's so many of them, you know. And it's not a Western one, but, you know, The Man from Snowy River is just a good old horse movie.
Now, I can tell you a quick story. The director of that movie, Simon Winsor, was also the man that hired me for the voiceover of the movie Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man.
Oh, okay.
So I know Simon Winsor. Yeah. What a gentleman.
Yeah, anyway, great
and that
movie.
One scene where they're running off that cliff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh no.
Well, you know, when you say favorite movie, Western movie, if it's got horses, I like it.
Yeah, I've always been partial to Lonesome Dove.
Yeah, I know you. Yeah. That's one of your favorites.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about staging. Stage coaching.
Oh, really?
And you'll kind of get what I mean here. But staging between Missouri and the Great Basin got off to a real slow start, slower than it did in California. Postal authorities had established a mail service of sorts between Independence, Missouri, and Salt Lake City. But it was hit and miss, didn't work very well with no regular service maintained. Mail often arrived at Salt Lake City faster going by ship to California around South America than it did going overland. And then they had to come across the Nevada desert to Salt Lake. So if you think how slow that had to be, but it was actually faster than some of the staging.
There had to be a lot of preparation as to setting up the stage depots along the way.
Right. And actually, I'm going to talk more about not so much the stage coaching of passengers as I am more like mail.
I see.
Mail and, oh, okay. And freight. But but part of that will be stage coaching with passengers.
Okay.
So in May of 1849, a hastily formed company calling itself the Pioneer Line announced that it would begin staging from Independence to the Pacific by way of Salt Lake City. 2,500 miles at a fare of $200. The trip would be made in 70 days. On May 8th, a large...
How many days?
70 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a long
time. From Independence to the West Coast.
2.5 months.
Yeah. But on May 8th, a large mud wagon, heavily loaded with miners, started west. A month later, an exhausted and dejected band of once hopeful gold miners helped a tired-out team of mules pull the same wagon into Fort Kearney, less than 300 miles from where they'd started. So the miners were helping the mules pull the wagon.
Oh, my.
At that rate, it would have taken them about a year to reach California, and then only if they had the strength to hold out pulling the wagon.
Mm-mm.
Well, with their arrival at Fort Kearney, the Pioneer Line folded up, and a few miners were $200 poorer and a whole lot wiser because they'd paid $200 to get there.
And they had to do all the work.
Yeah, and they didn't make it. They only made it 300 miles.
Ooh.
Out of the 2,500.
Wow.
So it wouldn't be the last failure of a Western stagecoach company. Western coaching could prove to be a risky business at best. So a year later, July 1st, 1850, a contract to carry the Western mail from Independence to Salt Lake City was awarded to a guy named Samuel Woodson of Missouri. And he was paid $19,500 a year and would be required to make one trip every 30 days, rain or shine or snow, carrying the mail by means of, quote, his own choosing. So it didn't have to be a stage wagon or coach. Because of the contract's wording, Woodson made little effort to establish a stage service because he could carry the mail cheaper by pack mule and letting travelers find their own way to the west.
So he had to do this every 30 days?
Uh-huh. Yeah, from Independence to Salt Lake.
Okay, so every 30 days. So the turnaround was, it was like 15 out, 15 back?
Probably, yeah.
Holy
Unless
moly.
He had separate teams that would start out.
That's what I was wondering.
Another team may start out 30 days later.
Yeah.
While the other team is getting back. So
he'd have to.
Yeah, they'd have to do that because they couldn't make it in 15 days.
No, surely. And then by the time they got there, look how dog tired they
right,
would be.
Right, right. Well, his contract was issued for a 4-year period. Now, keep that guy in mind, Woodson.
Okay.
So he had the eastern route from Independence to Salt Lake. Okay.
Why was that called the eastern route?
Well, I'll tell you. To complete mail service to the Pacific, a second contract was awarded to a guy named George Shorpenning and Absalom Woodward to carry the mail west from Salt Lake City to Sacramento, California. So that's the western route, okay, from Salt Lake to Sacramento.
Okay.
So we had Woodson on the eastern end from Independence Salt Lake, Shorpenning and Woodward from Salt Lake to Sacramento. So that would be the west western end. Well, their contract issued under the name of Woodward and Company paid only $14,000 a year, compensation so low that Shorpenning and Woodward couldn't even meet expenses, let alone purchase coaches to improve their line.
Mm-mm.
So their cost of operation was always much higher than was Woodson's on the eastern section. Every item of equipment cost Shorpenning and Woodward the highest possible price because farther out west it was more expensive for goods and everything, equipment and animals. Also, their route included long stretches of waterless desert as well as the 2-mile-high snowbound passes of the Sierras.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the desert of Utah and Nevada was a desolate land, a place some said God made only to hold the rest of the world together.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
So, you know, rugged country. But Shore Painting and Woodward faced this while building their new stage line, and it was described in a newspaper account written by Horace Greeley, quote, "If Uncle Sam should ever sell that tract of land for 1 cent per acre, he will swindle the purchaser outrageously." So
for 1 cent,
they didn't think it was worth much. And then Indians were also troublesome along the route west of Salt Lake, and they caused delays and missed schedules. Now Woodson's route again on the Easter, Woodson's route basically already went along the trail used by mountain men, fur trappers, pioneers along the Platte River, across South Pass to the Wasatch Mountains and Salt Lake City. So they kind of already had an established trail, so to speak. But further west, there was no well-blazed trail, only the dim tracks of a few people, a few gold seekers. So there, you didn't have an established route from Salt Lake to Sacramento.
Now, did they go over the summit there at Reno?
At Donner Pass?
Yeah.
Yes.
They did.
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah. But you know, at first, Shore Painting and Woodward chose a route north from Salt Lake to the north side of the Raft River Mountains, which right over here by us.
Right over here by us, yeah.
There, the trail turned southwest over the Goose Creek Mountains through the City of Rocks, which is where the California Trail went.
And they took that.
Yeah, they took that for a while.
Do you know where the California Trail goes from the City of Rocks?
I know
the exact locations.
I know pretty close to where it went. I mean, I know on a map where it went, yes. But I have never really actually ridden it.
I wonder if a guy could get on horseback and follow that religiously.
I think you could follow it a long ways through, I think it's called Granite Pass, after you leave the City of Rocks. But anyway, that route didn't seem to work very good for these guys. So what they did, it was too long and it was difficult, so he decided to take a shorter and easier trail, and this led west from Salt Lake City and then southwest around the southern edge of the Great Salt Lake Desert. Mm-hmm. His new route, at that time better known as the Egan Trail, named for a guy named Major Howard Egan, continued west to a place called Fish Springs, to Deep Creek Mountains, and across Ruby Valley. You know where Ruby Valley is?
Yeah. I was thinking, for instance, they were over by Ely, but they weren't, right? Down by Ely?
I think so. And then to a place called Gravelly Ford of the Humboldt River, and from there west to the Sierras. So I'm thinking, you know, kind of through Reno and that
way.
Wow. But anyway, it cut
travel. That's not easy travel.
No. And it cut traveling time between Salt Lake City and Sacramento by 10 days. So it was a shorter route. And actually is almost the same route used by the Overland Stage and the Pony Express. So it was a better route to go eventually. Mm. Now, the winter of 1851 proved to be disastrous for both the eastern and the western routes. In November of 1851, Woodward was mortally wounded by Indians near Gravelly Ford on the Humboldt River while carrying the eastbound mail. So one of the partners was actually carrying the mail.
Wow.
His four helpers were all killed. Woodward struggled on alone for more than 100 miles to the Deep Creek Mountains, where he died from his wounds. And that, again, that was Shore Penning's partner. Well, his saddlebags were heavy with priority mail. They were emptied onto the ground, leaving the mail to blow across the desert before the winter winds. Now, Shore Penning came nearly close to death. His pack horse froze to death in the Sierras, and he was forced to walk nearly 300 miles back to Salt Lake City in the dead of winter.
This guy did?
Yeah, arriving half frozen and nearly starved. Well, Christmas mail from California never reached Salt Lake City until the following April.
You know, think about that, though. They're out there today in that desert are still some of those letters.
Yeah, they would be, actually, if they happened to be in a place where they weren't in the rain and the moisture.
Yeah.
They could be scattered across there. But Woodson encountered the worst storms in memory on his eastern end of the line with waist-deep snow in the Wasatch Mountains.
Oh,
well, you know how the Wasatch Mountains, they get buried. But he had to cache his mail in an ice cave and was barely able to crawl through deep snowdrifts across the windblown peaks into Salt Lake City.
How did he ever do that?
I don't know. No one had told them it was going to be easy.
Well, that's not even close to easy.
No, that, I mean, the closest I can come, Zeb, is I've gone snow skiing in the Wasatch Mountains, and it is deep, deep snow.
Yeah, but can you imagine trying to walk? You're out there all by yourself.
Right.
With no help,
yeah.
Not the proper clothing. And he went, the one guy went 300 miles.
Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing the dedication and the fortitude of these people.
What did they eat?
Well, that was the thought that went through my mind just now. I imagine they had pemmican.
There wasn't a 7-Eleven there, was it?
They had pemmican, maybe, or just beef jerky. They couldn't have had much to carry because they were carrying the mail.
Oh,
so they couldn't have weighed themselves down.
Sakes.
But all the mail companies described, whether strung out along the Pacific coast or struggling somewhere in the emptiness of the Great Basin, no matter how important their company name might be, they were all mail contractors. That
wow.
was their job. And they may not have owned a single mail coach. Some of them didn't have any wagons or coaches, okay? Carrying the mails entrusted them by wagon, pack mule, or even on foot. Their business was delivering the mail by whatever means they could. And none were in the express business, the business of carrying gold dust, you know, heavier things, treasure, securities, or valuables. It was just mail.
Families could have sent letters to someone they knew that lived in Reno or out on the West Coast and never, ever heard from them again.
Never. Right, exactly. And so, unfortunately, some just figured they probably died somewhere, you know. But if stocks and bonds or other valuables were part of the mail, they were carried but were handled the same as any other mail, stuffed into the same saddlebag or loaded on the same wagon. On those few lines or sections of lines where a mud wagon or even a Concord coach could be used, which was chiefly in California, or a few days' travel either way from Salt Lake City, express mail was dropped into the same mail bag with letter mail and was thrown into the stagecoach, boot, or luggage compartment. The contractor's business was delivering the mail, not treasure. They didn't mess a lot of times with gold.
Oh, my.
But with the ever-increasing quantities of gold dust or even silver bullion coming from the camps of the Sierras, and with new mineral discoveries being made in the unknown mountains all across the vast Utah territory, you think about the mining, Zeb, all through the western, you know, Colorado, Utah, Idaho, Nevada. I mean, there were tons and tons of silver, gold, and whatever other ore.
Something that brought to mind while you were talking about this in the wintertime, how in the world did these people keep a source of direction in the snow?
You know, you had to cross the desert, and you might go in circles. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you get a windstorm, you know, anything like that coming across.
And they were all by themselves.
A lot of times.
And they were all out there for what, 2-3 weeks at a time?
Yeah.
Ooh.
But, you know, with all these, in all these unknown mountains all across Utah territory, which then included Nevada, as well as a lot of Idaho, Wyoming, and Colorado, express companies weren't long in being organized, and few were associated in any way with those first pioneer mail contractors or stagecoach companies. Now, express companies, those that are going to start carrying gold, okay, express companies, whose business it was to transport gold, silver, and other valuable treasures and guarantee their safe delivery, usually contracted with existing mail contractors or stagecoach companies to carry treasure for them. Okay? The express company would usually furnish a wooden treasure box bound with a strap iron and secured with a large brass padlock to protect the valuables entrusted to them. Later, when large six shipments of gold bars or silver bullion were shipped from the mines, they would provide an armed messenger, usually called a shotgun guard. So, folks, we use the term shotgun, but really the term really was messenger. That's the real term they used back then. And he was there to protect the treasure box. So, but the Pioneer Express Company in the West was the Adams and Company California Express. That was the main company
wow.
right about then.
Wow. Adam, I've only got a minute left because I got some commercials, but go ahead.
Zeb, we are
I don't think you're going to wrap it up.
No.
I'd like to hear more about this.
Yeah, so we're going to leave it right there with the Adams and Company California Express. And I know what a lot of you are thinking. What about Wells Fargo? Okay. And I'm going to get into Wells Fargo and how they played into this a little later, because anytime you see a movie or anything, a stagecoach being robbed, it always says Wells Fargo across the top. But that was not necessarily so.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks.
I am so interested in how tough these people were.
Oh, yeah. And getting, you know, snowblind. You think about...
I never thought about that. Yeah.
Snowblind,
yeah.
Freezing, horses freezing.
Yeah. You know. And going through waist-deep snow?
Yeah.
300 miles?
Yeah.
And I can't go in waist-deep snow from here to the barn.
I can't either. If I can get out to my car, I'm okay. But
oh, my gosh.
Anyway.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And, Zeb, you have a Merry Christmas this next week, and I will, too. And
Ken, you've been a real asset to this program with the Doctor History segment. I can't tell you how many times I say, gosh, I'm glad we started this years ago.
It's been a fun project.
It has been, and I'm looking forward to 2022 and you and your family. I got to do it right. Merry Christmas and God's blessings.
And Merry Christmas to my listeners, all of our listeners out there, Zeb.
Thank you
very much.
All right.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.